For years, Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Through deeply reported, narrative-driven stories, we're digging into the myths, scandals, and power structures that still shape the South, and in a lot of ways, the country itself. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
It's the Dork Podcast. It's the Dork Podcast.
Rich Keith.
It's the Dork Podcast.
Hashtag.
It's the hashtag Dork Podcast.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Hashtag Dork. My name is Rich Keith, joined as always by Davey Eyeballs, a.k.a. Roy Donk Von Doyronk. He is the Deep Von Reap. Nope, the Reap Von Deep. Yes, all hail the king of ginger ale. That's Ryan Davey. Davey, how are you?
I'm a little dinged up, Richard. We're a little
What's
dinged up today.
What's the story today?
You saw me limping around. We were together a week ago or so, and I was limping around a little bit, and things have progressed south.
You got a bum foot.
I got a bum foot is what it boils down to. And to make matters worse, I'm to be in hockey skates the next 2 weeks. So now, doing camps.
Not to get too personal, it's not gout, is it?
It's not gout. So there was a brief moment where we thought it was gout.
Mm.
And I thought I was back in like the days of yore where people actually got gout if you're not like incredibly overweight.
You don't want gout.
So, you don't. So that usually lasts about 2 to 3 days. This has been 3 weeks.
I got a bad case of the gout.
Mm-hmm.
That's from the first time I ever heard.
Not have brown orthopedic shoes.
You should maybe get some.
I'm a little dinged up, but I got my gingy.
Good.
You know,
it's look Schweppes. Good to go.
It is what it is. It's good in a pinch, but whatever.
It's a Schweppes. You know, it's like, yeah, I'll be winners.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's get to the news, shall
let's
we?
Let's do it.
All right. Ryan, the new Christopher Nolan movie is called Tenet.
Yep.
And this is rare in the game. Usually there's these big trailer releases and it's during like Jimmy Kimmel or Monday Night Football, or sometimes these social media teams just put it out on Twitter and they go nuts. This was a little different. This Christopher Nolan movie, I still haven't seen it online. And maybe by the time this episode is posted, people have seen it, but it was, I think, a 40-second teaser. And it came out prior to Hobbs and Shaw. So if you saw Hobbs and Shaw this week, you saw the Tenet teaser.
Because if you are a big fan of cinema and a big fan, if you're one of those people who calls them films. And
if you're a bona fide cinephile.
You love Christopher Nolan.
Yeah.
So his target audience is definitely at Hobbs and Shaw
this past
weekend. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's got to be like a studio thing, right? Because this really should have been out in front of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, which is getting a lot of Oscar buzz. Getting a lot of Oscar buzz, Ryan. People.
I told you I wasn't going to talk about it anymore.
No, that's fair. When you're right, you're right. But anyway, Tenet apparently is Inception, but with time travel.
Sure.
So, I don't know. Because
that movie was easy to understand, right?
Nah. In fact, not my favorite. Not my favorite movie at all. Ryan, Preacher is back, the fourth and final season. They just had episode 1 and 2. They released them at the same time this past Sunday. I watched episode 1, so I watched half of it so far. Mm-hmm. This is a good show. It's we're going to talk about what I think is a better show in the topic du jour, but both Garth Ennis and both comic books that I loved. I ripped all the way through Preacher. It's like a 6 or 7 book collection. You can pick that up if you haven't. And then the TV show is good. I enjoy it.
Yeah, I mean, this is a good show. I through no fault of the show, I dipped at season 2 because I did that thing where I cut the cable, so I don't have like cable anymore. Yeah. So AMC went away. So, but I've been slowly like getting like back into it. And like you said, this is a solid show. It's a like front to back. Like this is a solid show.
And I think season 2 was probably a season that a lot of people may have dipped out. And then I can assure you season 3 was better.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And that's what you told me, and I want to finish it. And it's something that, like, maybe once I can binge it, like, I'm just going to blow through it.
Yeah, for sure. And then I think it's good, too. Like, you know that it's 4 seasons. So it's not one of these shows that you're like, oh, shit, I got to watch 8 seasons of this. Right. Like, it's, nope, you're good. You can jump in and watch that. I got some movie news, Ryan. You ready for some movie news?
I'm ready. I'm ready for this.
Andy Serkis is set to direct Venom 2 Electric Boogaloo.
I'm all in. I'm all in for this.
Mm.
And the reason being, Andy Serkis Yeah. You will never mention him in the same breath as like Daniel Day-Lewis or like any of these like great top tier actors. But I, for my money,
maybe you should.
Like a better like actor, like physical actor in movies right now. Like you think of all this that he did as Gollum, he did as like any monkey.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess so on the Planet of the Apes, like they had like a different director, but I guess Andy Serkis was like calling a lot of the shots like behind the scenes.
Yes.
So you think of like a movie that you have to do a lot of motion capture, a lot of CGI, a lot of green screens, like Andy Serkis has to know better than anybody how this has to be done. Am I right?
I think you are right. So Serkis was the second unit director for the Hobbit films.
Mm-hmm.
He made his directorial debut with the film Breathe, which is a biographical drama film back in 2017. Andrew Garfield is in it. He also directed the film Mowgli, Legend of the Jungle.
Mowgli.
Mowgli
is the name of the character. Yeah.
Thank you. From the Jungle Book. Yep. Thank you. So he directed that. And so really, I mean, Venom's going to be like his main thing.
It's a big step. It's a huge step for him. And you know him as you've seen Andy Serkis in a lot of blockbuster movies and didn't know it was him.
Yes.
He was Snoke.
He was Snoke. Now, he was also not in a whole bunch of shit when he was Ulysses Claw in Black Panther and Ultron.
Or when he was doing the motion capture for King Kong.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, so this...
You know what I loved about his role of Supreme Leader Snoke was, you know, he really found out a lot about that character.
That character was meaningful.
It was really important,
yeah,
and it was such a great payoff.
Now, do you think, not to get into like Star Wars stuff, but do you think that Snoke was actually Palpatine, like him controlling like a body?
It was Palpatine's
consciousness.
I hope that's what we get in Rise of the Skywalker.
That's
a nice payoff.
Only thing that makes sense. You know, if you can like project his consciousness into somebody else.
Yep.
Yeah.
I would like that. Ryan, another Mindhunter trailer came out. We're going to get season 2 a week from Friday. This looks like the bee's knees.
Heavy duty. You're dealing with, what is it, a string of child murders in like Atlanta or something?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they think the Klan could be involved and like the whole thing. It's
super heavy.
It's going to be heavy. Yes.
Yeah.
Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark is out this week. You're excited about this?
I am.
You like this? You're going.
Oh my God. I love these books as a kid. I love them.
Yeah.
They're the ones that like, I would read them like under my covers and then leave them outside my room.
Okay. Just because you thought maybe a creature could come out of the book.
I mean, you saw those illustrations. What was the name of the guy who did this?
Andy horrifying. Serkis. Yeah. They were intense.
It wasn't Andy Serkis, but it was a guy. I forget. I have to look it up now.
This is a question. At what age would you let your daughter start to see like scary-ish stuff?
Scary-ish stuff. So, they recently watched Coraline.
Oh, is that a Johnny Depp joint?
No, it's the same people, Laika, who did,
Corpse Bride.
Yeah. And my older daughter loves Nightmare Before Christmas.
Oh, okay.
She loves it. So like that's, I think Coraline and that movie are nice little tiptoes into like scary.
Yes. Yeah. That makes sense.
You know what I mean? And yeah. she loved Coraline. So that's,
okay.
Stephen Gammell did the illustrations for
Gammell.
And that guy, there is a special place in HE double hockey sticks for that.
Come on. Listen, he's just doing his job.
You know? My God.
He's got
a twisted freak he is.
He's been touched by Satan and he applied that to illustrations. God bless him. Ryan, do you like a good deal? Can I interest you in a good deal?
Oh, please.
You're like a sweetheart of a deal?
I do.
What if I told you I could get you Disney Plus?
A bargain?
I get you a bargain. I get you Disney Plus.
Yep.
I get you ESPN Plus and I get you Hulu $12.99 a month.
In.
Yeah.
Is that the package?
Yes.
That's a real deal?
That just got announced today.
So I can get rid of Hulu, my Hulu subscription.
Yeah.
I can get rid of...
And get this bundle.
So does ESPN Plus come with all the ESPN channels?
Yeah, I haven't looked into exactly what you get with ESPN Plus, but I assume you get what's live on ESPN, ESPN
like you get 2, like
ESPN News. That'd be my
ESPN
guess.
ESPN U.
Yeah.
So you get all that? All right.
I'm
all the way in on that.
$12.99?
All the way in. I'm getting rid of like... Hell yeah.
Everything. That's sick.
That's unbelievable. Now, is it going to be that thing where they jack it up after the first year?
Probably. Yeah. Or, like, I didn't read the fine print. This could be like, well, this is standard def with one television. Like, it might be bullshit, but as far as I know, $12.99. I mean, I would have paid $12.99 just for Disney Plus.
I would have too. Now, Hulu is like $7.99, $8.99, right?
Yeah, I think so.
So there you go.
Deal. This is a fucking. This is a.
This is stupid. This is stupid. This is going to kill Netflix.
I know, but then every time I think I'm going to cancel Netflix, like Mindhunter comes out, they re-up Big Mouth for three seasons. Like, there's There's enough keeping me going.
What keeps me going too is they're basically taking over for HBO in terms of stand-up specials.
Mm. That too. So, yeah, for sure.
So I love a good stand-up special. I have some new comedians that I've been watching and I've been going through their best. Tom Segura and Nate Bargatze. And who's the other one I watched recently?
Bargatze is the guy who's clean, right? He's a clean comic.
He's pretty clean. I mean, he does like mature themes, but he's pretty clean, pretty deadpan. Yeah. And the other one I've been watching, I saw Mark Maron's special. He's great. He's like that, like stupid voice, that like voice in your head that like that self-doubting, like asshole.
You know what? You know? Yeah, well, he definitely is that. You know what stand-up special I had to just bail on because I was bored? Aziz Ansari.
That was boring. You know me. You know I'm a huge Spike Jonze fan. And it's like, oh, Spike Jonze directed. And I thought it was going to be, it was just all handheld cameras like right next to him.
Ugh.
Like the opening shot was really cool, but I think
for me
it was too safe. I mean, granted, he did that whole 10 minutes in the beginning about like what happened to him this past year.
I know.
Oh, sorry. I said that wrong. Not what happened to him, like, because that makes him sound like something bad happened to him.
Well, no,
you understand.
The whole kind of mixed up. Like, he was sort of, he got lumped in with all the Me Too stuff, and then it turns out it really was, he wasn't as scummy as it.
Right, but like, there was some gray area there. So, like, he addresses that, and then after that, you're like, you feel kind of guilty laughing at any joke he tells?
Yeah, I was just like, I think I'm done with this. I did not enjoy it.
Was not great.
Ryan, we played a fun game on Twitter today at Dork Podcast where if we were to cast
this is not a fun game.
Dork movie, if we were to do hypothetically, if they were going to make a movie about us, which someday they very well could, should, who would play us? And I just sort of spitballed Michael B. Jordan could play me, Keanu Reeves could play you.
Which sounds great.
That'd be a good cast and that'd be a good movie. I think a lot of people would watch that movie. And then people really, they got creative and they took to Twitter. Lot of really good ones, I thought.
It wasn't, no. See, you're giving people too much credit because I tweeted, I responded to it and said, basically what this boils down to is you take a good-looking guy who is getting a little older, you know?
Who, me?
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, you're a dad now. Like, you're old now.
I'm mid-30s.
You're mid-30s, but you're, like, you're
right
not
in the middle.
You're not 17, 18 hunk anymore. You know what I mean?
No, I'm not.
You've had a couple six seams. You've had a couple, you know, you get a little bit of a, whoop, you get a little pudge on there,
God
right?
Bless. Yeah, I do.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm not in great shape.
I'm not being unkind. All right. I'm just telling it like,
can
facts,
I just read
care
some,
about feelings.
Can I just read some of the suggestions?
Let me get to that. And then, so I said, so you know, you get a good looking guy who's lost his fastball a little bit and then name an actor who's short and fat. And apparently that's who's going to play me.
Well, right, it's just a fun exercise.
It's not a fun exercise. This is horse shit.
So, Goo from the Mac and Goo program said, and again, Keith being first, Davey being second, and all of these. Penn Badgley and Turtle from Entourage. Let's see.
Easily one of the worst characters in television history, by the way. Easily.
Marcus from the Boxers podcast. Keith, Chris O'Donnell, and Davey, Bob Hoskins. R.I.P.
Fucking Bob Hoskins, the guy who played Mario. Fucking Smee from Hook. Are you shitting me? Are you shitting me?
These are just a few of the suggestions. Josh on Twitter said Matthew Perry for me and David Cross for you.
David Cross, like I could not. If you okay, I'm willing to accept. You know some short fat things. David Cross looks nothing like me.
I'm just going to read a few more of these.
Okay, go ahead. Yeah, sorry. Go ahead.
And Drew Boy Hill said Michael Fassbender for Keith and Nick Frost for Davey.
You really fucking made out like a bandit on that one. Not only that, he's a good-looking dude. You get a massive hog. You know what I mean?
And then I've just been getting absolutely flooded on the emails, dorkpodcast@gmail.com, with Josh Duhamel for Keith and Bruce Valanche for Davey.
People don't like me. I'm an unlikable person. Fucking Bruce Valanche. Let's get Brad Pitt for Keith.
And Vern Troyer.
Harvey, what's that guy? Firestone. Harvey Firestein.
Oh, darling.
Let's get him for Davey, huh? Or let's go by the old standby. Let's get Kevin James for Davey and Adam Sandler for Keith. Let's just do that.
We get some guy who looks like a speed bump and have him play Davey.
No, fat guy with a face like a blind cobbler's thumb. Let's get him to play Davey.
Is there anybody? Who's the actor that has the cement head? Who's that guy? Can you get him? What's
Can
he
we
doing?
Get Eric Stoltz as Rocky Dennis to play Davey? Can we do that?
Oh, that's fun. It's just a fun. It's a fun game. It's a
fun exercise. That's right. No, that's right. It's fun to pretend. It's nice to pretend.
In all seriousness, has anybody ever said that you look like a certain celebrity?
Now, can I tell you a funny story? I know we have a lot to get to today.
Please.
So I was at my wife's best friend's wedding, right? And she married a guy from New York. So obviously he has a huge family and it's, her side wasn't as big, but like he has a huge family. So we're sitting after the reception, we went back to the hotel and everyone's in the hotel bar, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sitting actually alone at this point because they're like doing something. I don't know. The girls are doing something. My wife has a huge group of friends. Like they're all doing something. And I'm just sitting at the bar by myself. And I feel like a tap on my shoulder. And this woman who I'd never met before, I don't even know if she was part of the wedding, but she started like going, "Oh my God. Oh my God.
Caleb Wentz?"
No, she's like, you're him. And I'm like, what? She's like, you look like, and she starts snapping her feet. She's like, and I'm like, oh shit. Like here it comes. And
who's
she goes, the mall cop, the mall cop.
No.
And I'm just like, you gotta be shitting.
No
I'm just like,
way.
I like roll my eyes at this woman. And I like put like, I'm like putting my hands like on the bridge of my nose, just like
Paul and Blart.
And she's calling people over like her husband and being like, doesn't he look like the mall cop? He looks just like him. And no. the woman's husband's like, stop. He's like, Diane, stop.
That's and she was Ryan. Like, we just
it
met
was,
him.
And it was the worst experience of my life.
That sucks.
It was awful. I am a little bit sensitive to like the short fat thing. So like, that's why it stems from that.
To be fair, I think Kevin James is tall.
Is he tall? I don't think he is.
I don't know. Maybe he's not.
I don't think he is. Maybe I think he sucks too.
He does. He does suck. People in college thought I looked like Steve-O. That's the closest. That's the one I've gotten Makes the sense. Most. So
I've gotten fat Bam Margera minus the tattoo too. That's another one I've gotten.
It's not great.
Not great. I'm not a great looking person, but luckily my wife is very attractive and people don't get it, but it's fine.
It's on the inside, Ryan.
Yeah.
That's where you shine.
That is where I shine.
Ryan, let's get to the video game minute, shall we?
Sure.
It's time for Davey's video game minute. Even if it takes more than a minute.
What do you got?
Okay, so this is going to be a little bit heavy this week. We're going to start with something. So the big news we have to get to now is that Ninja, he of the Twitch fame, has jumped ship and now is exclusively streaming on Mixer.
I'm not familiar with Mixer.
So I'm going to tell you about Mixer. Yeah. So Mixer is actually owned by Microsoft.
Mm.
And the theory is that, so Ninja, when he got his start, was actually a professional Halo player. Okay. So he's very fond of Microsoft. And the idea, I think, that people are speculating is they're going to use this to kind of pump the new Halo game that's coming out. So him being an ex-Halo player, they have a new Halo title coming out. There's a Halo movie coming out. So they're going to pump all of these things, and they're probably going to use him to do this. Hmm. My guess is, I don't know the exact numbers, but he probably signed a ridiculous deal to be exclusive with Mixer.
A must have.
And he's offering people who were subscribed to him on Twitch, he's now offering people free the first 2 months free to sub to him.
Because
it just kind of happened in the middle of a month. So, which is like, you know, subscriptions happen.
Yep.
Like,
yep.
So it happened like in the middle of the month. So, and this for a lot of us, like kind of came out of nowhere. Like he had teased that this has been like a huge thing. And Mixer is now making a huge push But they've also gotten in a lot of trouble because they have a very strict guidelines as to what women can wear. Which is not so.
Yeah.
Mixer is a little different than Twitch in that I can say, you know how like when you log on to my Twitch, it says like the first time it says like it's mature content meant for adults and whatever.
Yeah.
You can actually set, it's like everybody, teen or mature.
Okay.
So I can actually, you can actually, as a streamer, you can actually tailor it to who you want to see
mature,
it.
Mature, obviously.
Well, a lot of people leave it teen because you can swear a little bit, but like you don't.
PG-13.
Yeah. It like broadens your audience a little bit. Mature is like a little, you know.
I know. I hear you.
But I tell you, Twitch is kind of, they're messing up a little bit.
Okay.
With the ads and the content is not as good as it used to be. We got people selling bathwater. It's all the way we've been over this, right?
It's the whole thing. Yeah.
And so that's kind of like the big news that's coming out of the video game world. Other than the fact that, you know what I'm going to say, and we don't do this usually.
When they jump into our territory,
when they're shit in our backyard, Richard, we need to talk about it. And that we're talking about the president and one of his cronies going on record and saying that instead of talking about the issues that are pressing, and they said they once again piled on the video game industry as a reason why terrible things happen in this country twice in 24 hours. Now, it is one of those things that it's very easy to point the finger. I think the United States is third or fourth in video game sales.
Yeah, I think was it Korea and China
South were Korea. Over?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then maybe like a smaller year. But anyway.
Yeah.
None of those countries have the same issue. So and there's the most extensive study that came out of Oxford showed no link between the two. So it's saddening to me, and I hope people can understand that you can't just point the finger at this anymore, but we need to get some stuff done. We are not political people here on Hashtag. We like to keep it.
No.
Well, you know my politics. Here.
You know my
politics. You know what? I don't like people taking the easy shot at something that they don't understand. You know what I mean? And I hopefully this, a lot of it has to do to, instead of pointing the finger at like parents, because at the end of the day, like, you know, these kids are getting these video games with their parents' credit card or their parents' permission. And I think we just need to do a better job with that and making sure the kids are doing the right thing and, you know, being a little bit more hands-on. But, you know, kids out there who are listening, you know, be smart. And if you need help, get help.
Yes. You know? I think the video game thing is so fucking stupid. And it's so transparent, too. And not to go down this whole road, but we know that I don't even think he believes that. He just has to cover himself. No, I think that
it's a silly thing to point the finger at.
Yeah. And there's clear stats. You just immediately pull up the number of video games in the millions sold in South Korea and in China. And then you pull up the number of mass shootings and it's like, okay, what else do you got?
It's one graph.
You really, at that point, you might as well get rid of horror movies. You might as well get rid of violent TV shows like The Boys. You might as well get rid of these graphic novels I have behind me, like Red Hood and the Outlaws and Preacher and Punisher. Get rid of all of it.
Get rid of the news.
Ryan.
What's that? The whole journalism thing. What's the thing they say all the time? If it bleeds, it leads.
If it bleeds, it leads. That's right.
So you know what? Why don't we get rid of the news? If we want people to stop looking at violent images, let's get rid of the news.
The local news. If you watch the local news, it's like, the other day it was on, my wife usually watches, I never watch it, but if it's not in the room, it was six straight deaths and like four of them weren't even in Massachusetts. It was like, hey, let's get to these ones too. And you're like, oh, okay. Like,
or how about they tease it like, there's a kid, some canned good in your kitchen might kill you. Find out at six.
We'll tell you which one at six. They all will.
Yeah.
All right.
If it's botulized, you know, all of them will.
Ryan, are you ready for the topic du jour?
I am. You know what? I'm not really sure what that is, but I'm going to.
I'll tell you. No, good. I'll tell you what it is. It's the topic of the day. And today it is The Boys.
Yeah.
It is an 8-episode TV season of, what do you call it? Amazon Prime, whatever it is.
Prime Video.
I went out and got Amazon Prime just for this goddamn show.
Now, are you happy you did?
Yeah, but I'll probably cancel it any moment. But I'm glad I did about the goddamn show. I'll say that much. Ryan, we begin as we do with all of our movie and TV reviews. Non-spoilers. So let me ask you first. Did you like it?
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah. This show is awesome.
This show is awesome. this show was great. I didn't just like, I loved it. I loved absolutely it. Loved this show. Sort of piggybacking off of our last topic, what did you think of the action/violence in this television show?
I mean, talk about like coming out swinging. It's yeah. awesome. I don't want to talk too much about the graphic novel. I haven't read all of them. I've read enough.
Yeah.
It's not as bad as that. There's a couple scenes, but like,
yeah. No, I was anticipating. I thought they did a good balance. And again, it won't be real spoilers for the boys. No. I read it so long ago. There's a couple of things I might reference, but for the most part, we're just going to stick to the show. I highly recommend the comic. It's awesome. It's done. I think it's like, I want to say 12 volumes, but the volumes are thin. They're not like Preacher books. Like where
there
like,
is a, what do they call it? Like a definitive collection where they have all of them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
you can do that too.
Yeah.
But that one was a little bit more over the top, a little bit more sexual, a little bit more violent, a little bit more like the language, like it was crazy.
Well, like you said, it's like, it's Garth Ennis. So think of like Preacher with superheroes, that level of gross. Yeah.
And just like the superheroes being for the most part dickheads,
which is a fantastic idea.
That's what I was going to say about this is the show is so great, but the truth is the source material or just simply the show idea or the book idea is awesome. And I think it came out at the perfect time.
Yes.
Because of we have just been hit over the head with MCU movie after MCU movie after MCU movie, throwing some DC movies, throwing some Sony movies. We've seen every goddamn comic.
MCU, shit DC, MCU, MCU, shit DC, indie comic, MCU, shit DC. Yeah.
We've seen it all. And so to get this sort of spin on it where it's not DC, it's not Marvel, but they're all, you know, cookie cutter versions of certain heroes, but it's like it's different and they're all there and you sort of view them as celebrities. And again, this is one of the things I've always said, whether it's an actor or whether it's an athlete on your favorite team, we don't know these people. Like they could all be absolute scumbag savages and you shouldn't be surprised if that comes out. Like you hope that they're not, but there's a chance that they are.
And like the thing I love that this show plays with, and again, this isn't a spoiler because it's kind of like an overarching theme. If you are a super human being, you can't really relate to regular human beings. Right. Like you look at the character we're going to get into it, but like Homelander is like their Superman.
Right.
And he just doesn't give a shit about anybody because like, it's like think of like when you like Watchmen, like Dr. Manhattan, like, yeah, I don't care. Like I really like analogy
when they talk about Superman. It's like playing with ants or whatever. Like what was the one? Remember? Like that's what it is. Like you know,
it's stupid. Like you know what I mean? Like and it comes through. And like how long could you be a superhero before you get bored?
Right.
Like you know what I mean? Like if the game, like you think of like the best athletes, and that's the only thing we can draw upon because like you think of like. I don't want to say
how they're viewed. Like it's absolutely how they're viewed and people take them in and they're just obsessed with them and they become bigger than life. And it is funny, like the way just like things are going in the real world.
Right.
If there were superheroes, don't you think this is kind of a likely scenario?
It's exactly what would happen.
Like they would join like a corporation.
Yep.
And you would get them and whatever, like it just, it feels kind of anyway for a superhero movie or show. It feels like real in a way.
Yeah. And like, this is it's a real look at like what superheroes would actually be like.
So I thought the characters were great. We'll get into all of it in spoilers, but I thought the characters, both the superheroes, the boys, the characters that surround the boys were all very good. I thought the comedy was good too. I thought there were some good laughs.
There was some great stuff we'll get into with like spoilers and stuff but there were some really, really funny parts.
I'll tell you what, I really do think this is one of the best adaptations that I've seen, comic book / graphic novel, into movie or TV show, because a lot of the movies we know, whether it's Marvel or DC, they're just taking sort of ideas, like right, like they're taking kind of snippets, and like because there's so much Batman that like they'll take bits and pieces of it. I think The Walking Dead, like everybody sort of got soured on it, but early seasons Walking Dead and the comic I thought were a good adaptation. Yep. Preacher, which we mentioned, was a good adaptation, but this is I would put this one right up there with anything.
No, yeah, and especially with TV. I mean, like you said, the Marvel Universe and the DC Universe are so big that they can, like you said, they can kind of cherry pick what works and what doesn't work. This is just one thing.
Yeah.
But it's so if you've read any of the volumes, it's so dense.
Yeah.
Like there's the little tiny stories that you could expand on. But it's kind of like lightning in a bottle. Like they got like this perfect, like you said, the perfect source material at the perfect time.
It really
is. It's kind of like, it's so anti Marvel. It's great.
It's amazing. And you know, again, Garth Ennis, if you're not familiar with him, we can't mention, we can't put him over enough. Like go check out his stuff. And I feel like if you like one of his things, you'll like all of his things.
Yeah. And it's and that you'll kind know of like that, super gritty, yeah. dark
yeah.
stuff. Yeah.
I would say, I would also toss in like Daredevil and Jessica Jones for some of the stuff they did from comic into the Netflix show. But the big difference here is The Boys is only 8 episodes.
Yeah.
And this is what these shows should be. You can't ask for 13 good hours in a season when you basically have sort of like, you know, one villain or one main story. It's too much. There's too much filler. There was not much filler here.
No, there was a little bit. There was a little bit, but
there was.
I found myself pissed when credits rolled on episode 8 because there weren't any more and I wanted more. And that's exactly what the Marvel shows on Netflix didn't do. It was almost like, you know, episode 10 of Luke Cage season 2. I'm like, Jesus Christ.
Oh my God. Like, Luke Cage was one where,
or Jessica Jones season 2, where you're like, come on. You know,
Luke Cage was one of those ones where like mid episode, you would look to see how much time was left.
Yeah. I would,
I never did that in this. Like you're right. There was an episode or two where you're like, all right, it was sort of like long periods of time with action, but like they needed to sort of get the story across. But for the most part, absolutely loved it. I would say for TV shows that I've seen this year, it's right at the top. I mean,
yeah,
I think You Should Leave is one of those weird, like, do we count that or do we not count that?
I think that's the best thing I've seen. Yeah.
That's the number one thing I've seen, but this is right there. I'm trying to think what else. Obviously,
Mindhunter. Mindhunter's up there. Stranger Things is up there. Well, you saw, I had just seen it this year. Yeah.
Though Mindhunter season 2 could very well be. Yeah, Stranger Things and shit, I forget. There's one other show I think I really liked from this year. But either way, this is right there at the top.
Yeah.
Ryan, what would your hashtag dork score be?
5.
I'm going 6.
You going 6?
I'm going 6.
Back to back sixes with you this week.
That's what I told you. It was the best weekend. It was the best movie/TV weekend of 2019 for me.
Have we ever had a back to back 6 week?
I don't think so.
This might be it.
I doubt it because we haven't given out too many sixes for anything. I gave out a 6 for Endgame. I gave out a 6 for Once Upon a Time. I gave out a 6 for this. I think You Should Leave. So yeah, it's rare. It's
back
rare.
To back
in
6 weeks. It's rare.
It's rare. 5's a good score though too, Ryan. 5's a really good score too.
Oh, 5's really good. Yeah. I mean, there's some things that we can improve on a little bit. But yeah, hard 5.
Let me see. What was the other thing that I gave a 6 to? Oh, Barry.
Oh, I love Barry.
Barry was very, very good.
Barry. Yep.
Let me put Barry there. All right,
I think Barry's my favorite show this year.
Yeah, and that's completely understandable. All right, do you want to get spoilers?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, spoilers. There's a lot of different ways we can do this. Obviously, we can just jump into, you know, best parts, worst parts. We can get into the character breakdown. But the first thing I love, and this is right from the comic too, is the idea that a superhero innocently kills somebody, and then it's just sort of like, sorry, like just doing my thing, like I'm just saving the world, like my bad. And it's just like, and then the reaction of that person, the character is Huey Campbell, and I think we've mentioned this in a previous podcast, but when Garth Ennis wrote the book, he modeled it after Simon Pegg. And
if you read the book, it looks like him.
It looks identical to him.
Yeah.
And that, so it's cool that they got Simon Pegg to play the dad, because he would have been too old to play Huey.
Right.
In this one, but like just that whole that sort of sets the stage for the whole show. Is Huey is in love with his girlfriend, and then A-Train comes running through, and the image of him holding her hands as A-Train runs by is just fucking amazing.
And that's right from the comic, and it was one of those things where like it happened. You hear like the vroom, you hear like him running by, and the blood. It's like super like phantom cam slow mo where like the blood goes on his face. He's like sitting there smiling, and I knew I had read that part of the comic. So I'm looking over at my wife who's watching this, and she's like, "Looking," she's like, "Why are you looking at me?" And then they pan out, and you can see him just like holding the hands, and she goes, "Oh shit!" I was like, "Yeah," and then but like What I love about this is you think of, what was it, Civil War, when the woman whose son died in Sokovia, like, slapped the picture on, like, Tony Stark's chest and was like, mm-hmm. he was super affected by it and whatever. Mm-hmm. I honestly, like, real superheroes, like, would be like, what? Like, what do you want me to do? Like, yeah, you're, right. You know what I mean? Like, they would not be fazed by that at all.
No, they'd be like, do you know how many people I've saved over the course of, like, the last yeah. year? Like, I'm in the positive right now. Like, yeah. I'm not all that, like, my bad. And then, like, the weird, like, scene, like, with the apology and all that stuff.
Yeah. And, like, it was so forced and it was just so, like, and then he ran into him and didn't even remember.
Yeah.
Like, who he was.
Yeah.
Like, no idea. That's exactly how that would go.
Yeah. No, it is. And they do such a great job, too. Like, so the Seven is basically mm-hmm. the Justice League, and they have all these characters that are based off of real characters. So Homelander is really a Superman Captain America combo.
Yeah.
And that he's an amazing character because he is such a fucking asshole, yes. even though he's viewed as the greatest person in the world.
Well, they say they're investigating all these superheroes and, like, the guy's got no weaknesses. Like, they have nothing to go on. Like, yeah. He doesn't drink, he doesn't smoke, he doesn't do any of these things. We can't touch him, basically.
Can't do anything to him. Mm-hmm. You got Queen Maeve, who is basically like the Wonder Woman.
Yep.
Right. A-Train, which is like the Flash. You have the Deep, which is like Aquaman,
which is an amazing character. Like, it's kind of like
what I loved about him,
which is great because in the comic, I don't think he's really mentioned that you see him, but he's not really like a main part of like the initial comics.
Right.
But I love what they did with that character and just shit on him.
They just shit all over him.
Yeah.
You got Black Noir. Who's he even like?
Black.
Is he Black Panther or is he just
he doesn't talk.
He doesn't say a word.
Like, noir means black, so his name is Black. And he doesn't talk. He's just, you know, just an assassin. He's like Snake Eyes from G.I. Joe, kind of.
Yeah. You have Translucent, right?
I love the part where they're like, they capture him and they're like, you know, like, that's not what translucent means. they're trying to explain to them like what translucent means, and like, that's not what you are,
right?
You know,
right?
Yeah,
that's good. And then so Lamplighter retired, so that opens the door up for Starlight,
which is like Green Lantern. Lamplighter, Green Lantern.
Yeah, Green Lamplighter, like Green Lantern. Starlight is like who? Like, I can't even.
What I love about the character of Starlight is she could be anybody. Like, she's just put there because she's like this pretty blonde.
Yeah,
like Christian value. Like,
she does like sparkly stuff.
Yeah, and it looks great, like, optics wise. Like, we're not really sure like what she explains later what she does, but like, no one really seems to care.
Yeah, light emitting superhero is what she's described as.
Yeah,
and so Erin Moriarty is the actress. She was in Jessica Jones and True Detective.
Yes,
so at one point, so she looks kind of familiar, and she's also the only one that like thinks all this is on the up and up too. So it's a great character. Sort of, she looked up to the Seven because, again, they're like celebrities. So you have posters on your wall of all these heroes, and then you go and meet them. And then I was wondering how they're going to go about this, because in the comic, she is forced to do sexual favors to, in the show, it's the Deep.
Yes. But
in the comic, it is
Homelander,
A-Train, and Black Noir all at the same time.
Mouth stuff.
And I was like, what are we doing here? And so in this movie, or in this show, it was just the Deep. And they make him out to be such a dickhead. Although, I laughed out loud when he was saving the dolphin.
That's what I was alluding to. I hoped you thought. And he's fucking talking. I love that he's like talking to the dolphin like in the back. He's like, no, like, don't make it weird. Like, we talked to, like, they were like,
the dolphin like thought
they were like going to get it on. Yeah.
The dolphin was hoping to hook up with him.
Yeah.
And then he slams on the brakes and the dolphin goes shooting out and they lock eyes and then it shoots through the glass and just splat all over the road.
And it's playing like, what song were they playing?
Oh, I forget, but it was perfect.
It was a great, great song choice. And
they dolphin, brought it back.
Yeah. I love, you said they love, they like catch up and he's like squeaking as he goes through the windshield and then the fucking 18 wheeler just runs him over.
Oh my God.
And then the same thing happens again with the fucking lobster.
Yeah.
When he's like, he's talking to the lobster in the tank. He's like, we're gonna get you out of here.
The guy stabs him in the head,
which they never do. They don't do that.
No, they really do. You're not supposed to do that.
No, you're supposed to do
that. You're supposed to cook him up in there.
Yeah.
And then they send his ass to what, Dayton or wherever they, or somewhere in Ohio, right?
No, it's Sandusky.
Was it Sandusky? the town from Tommy Boy?
Because he says, like, we're not a shithole like Toledo, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah. He shits on another one. But so that was fantastic. That was a good job by him.
And he's like, we got the lake right there. You know, we get the, you know, for the deep, because they send him to, like, the middle of fucking nowhere.
They just get rid of him because it comes out what happens.
Oh, it's Lake Erie. Yeah, they're like,
yeah, Lake Erie. Yeah, he's like, we're out of Lake Erie. What'd you make of the whole thing with the, like, the Christian stuff? And then, you know, dealing with Ezekiel and really pushing Starlight and Homelander there, because they kind of, they have the religious angle. It's not really a cult necessarily, but it's like they're really pushing that, and like they rent out these superheroes, and then they're just trying to like I guess
promote themselves that way. And this is where I think this is like, it's not clever, but I think it's smart of them to do, like, if we had superheroes, right? And we're trying to play to a base. Like, who do we, if they're supposed to be the best of us, like, who do we play towards?
Yeah.
Right. And it would make sense that you would have, like, the, you know, the, like, the American way be like, right, God and country and like all that. Right. So, like, you play to that. Like, and I love the idea that, like, none of these characters belong there, but it's like, this is our, and they kept talking about brand.
Right.
Which I thought was really smart.
Yeah.
They're like, this is your brand. Like, this is who you are. You know what I mean? Like, we have to play to this.
Well, and they, like, so-and-so's up so many points, they're down this many points. Yeah. Like, how's their merchandising doing? Like, all that. Like, it's so,
like, their movie sales,
their,
like,
movies, all that stuff. Their comics, everything.
And, like, I love that idea, that because I honestly believe that if superheroes existed, you know, they would have agents, they would have a PR team, they would have, and like they, I loved the character. I feel like I had seen her before, but I hadn't seen her in anything. The girl who gets fired, the redheaded, Starlight around.
Yeah.
And I love that character, cause she's just kept getting so pissed at her. Be like, you need to do this. You need to say this.
Yeah.
And she just wouldn't do it.
Yeah. I mean, it's two of the good characters too, that like aren't in the Seven or aren't in the Boys, that are good in the comic too, is, Madeline Stilwell, played by Elizabeth Shue. And Susan Rayner, played by Jennifer Esposito, and sort of getting those two sides. So one thing with the comic is, Susan Rayner and Billy Butcher, they get it on. They like hate each other, but they also make sweet love to each other.
Thin line between love and hate.
That is true. And that, but Elizabeth Shue was pretty diabolical. She did a good job. Yeah,
I love Elizabeth Shue.
Liz Shue. Now, one of the best scenes was the one in the last episode where Billy Butcher thinks he's got something. He's like Homelander that has no weaknesses, but he's in a relationship with Stilwell.
So kind of.
I want to capture Stilwell.
That was weird, though. The whole mommy thing, that was weird. That made me uncomfortable.
But again, the backstory of Homelander and really the big reveal of the whole season about all of the heroes and how they were all created is fascinating. And the whole thing about Homelander planting a, because it's a great, like, as you're reading the comic too, when you're seeing, you're like, wait a minute, so all the heroes are American? Like, there's no there's no heroes anywhere else? Like, what's going on? And then when they plant the one over there, so they have like a terrorist one, and then they're able to try to get funding, and like, that's a cool angle too. Like, we're trying to get superheroes involved in the military, and then there's like a pushback by the government, and it's like they're trying to get in there. So,
and then they have that thing where they're like, oh, well, there's a terrorist super villain,
so now
you need us, but like, they created it.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like with the Mandarin, like, they created this thing in order to like, you need me to fight this and whatever. No, that was super cool. Super cool idea.
The scene though, where Homelander is looking at Stilwell and realizes that Stilwell lied to him, and the whole thing and the backstory with Billy Butcher and his wife, and you're like putting the pieces together as you're watching the show. And then he just takes his laser eyes and shoots two holes through her head. And you're like, holy shit.
Like, this guy really doesn't give a shit.
He doesn't give a shit about anything.
Yeah.
You're like, Billy, you're in trouble. And then it's cool too, because Billy's motivation the whole time, this happens in like most good movies and TV shows, I feel like, is a character's motivation the whole time. You get to a point where you're like, oh, wait a minute, he might not even be right. Like, the thing that has driven him the whole time might not even be proven true.
And he's not. Like, the whole thing is like, he thought, you know, that his wife
Homelander raped her.
Right. Yeah. And then it turns out that, and then they lied to Homelander, said she died in childbirth and the kid lived for 10 minutes.
Right.
Neither of those things were true.
None of that is right.
So it turns out, you know, Billy Butcher's wife is alive and well, as is Homelander's son.
Crazy, crazy finish. And oh, yeah. I don't know if we announced this. I forgot if we mentioned this in non-spoilers, but there is already a season two has been announced.
It's been announced.
You got to assume that's going to be a huge storyline. In season two, Billy's still alive, obviously, and he sees Homelander with his wife, who he thought was dead. What was it? 8 years?
8 years. Like, yeah.
Now the kid's 8 years old, or whatever, 7 or 8 years old. So that whole scene was pretty crazy. Also, the stuff with Starlight and her mom and her putting the pieces together, that like her mom was the one that like got the experiments on her and like turned her into a superhero.
Got paid for it.
Paid. The whole thing was crazy, but where I think the show and I think they were all good. Like the A-Train stuff was good too. He was a big part of the whole season, but the and like the drug, right? Like the drug that they're like obsessed.
So
with.
Correct me if I'm wrong. So was they called the V or is it like with a
whatever. No, whatever it is, I don't know.
Whatever it is, the blue stuff.
Yeah.
So in the comic, there was the stuff that was the Nazis developed to create super soldiers. But the one that they singular dose, it's that laced with cocaine.
Is
what the superheroes are injecting themselves with.
Okay.
So it's like this like speedball of
just
like blue insanity. Superhero liquid and coke.
Yeah. Yeah. Compound V.
Compound V. Yeah.
But A-Train stuff too, like him having to take that to do the race. And like what a cool idea is like you have two characters that are essentially the Flash. It'd be like the Flash and Quicksilver having a race.
Yes.
Like that's what it'd be like.
And they're both the other guys. I forget what his, whatever, but he just looks like the biggest douchebag.
Oh, like Shockwave.
Shockwave. Yeah.
Yeah. He's a clown. He's a clown show. But my point, I thought the Seven and like the people who are in and out of the Seven were really good, but where the show is at its best is the boys. Like the boys are awesome. Great. I think they're all really well cast. I think, Caliban as Butcher, really good. The kid who played Huey, really good. Mother's Milk. I thought he could have been like a little bit bigger of a dude, but the actor
he's huge.
Like,
yeah.
He's huge in the comic. He's a big, actually, so is Butcher. Like they're both big dudes.
Yeah.
I thought the dude who played Frenchie was perfect casting.
He was great.
He was awesome. He was and I loved the female. Every scene the female was in was awesome. She's super compelling. Her origin story is a little bit different in this. Like the order in which the boys sort of assemble is different in the comic than in the TV show, but like it doesn't really matter. This was well done.
I think the one thing that I had that knocked it down to a 5 for me is they didn't really do a good enough job of giving the boys their backstories. And I think that'll come.
Because you really did. You got Huey's and you got a little bit of Billy's and but some of the female.
The idea that like, this was a legitimate CIA operation. Like, because it just seemed like they were like just a group of dudes who, and a girl who like hung out together.
Well,
but the idea was that they were an actual government funded task force.
Yeah. But it was really, so
somehow disbanded. Yeah.
It was Grace Mallory.
Mm-hmm.
But
in the comic, it was something else. Mallory. It was a
dude,
a man. Yeah.
Yeah. It was like Greg, I forget, or something, whatever. Yeah. It was a dude. So you'll gender swap. No big
it doesn't
deal.
Matter. Yeah.
And so she recruits Billy and like trains Billy. And now Billy's taken over. Cause I forget what it was. Was it, it might've been, I forget now in the comic, was it Lamplighter?
Lamplighter killed her grandkids.
Killed Mallory's grandkids. Right.
Yeah.
And then, so that motivated him or now her. And so that sort of formed the team. But yeah, there's still a lot more with them working together and them going after the superheroes.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but they have, it's not like superpowers, but they have like about them.
No, I haven't read it in a while. I should reread it after watching the show, but I thought they had like their own kind of Compound V.
They like, did. They, and remember they gave it to something. Huey.
Yeah.
He stuck him with it and he wound up punching the guy through in the guy's chest.
That's when he killed a guy and they're
the
like
Blarney Cock.
Yeah.
The guy's name.
Yeah, because they really didn't get into the other superhero teams in this. Like they did mention how A-Train was in the Teenage Kicks.
Which is a big part of the comic.
Yes.
Part of the comic.
Yeah, yeah. Like, and there's like two different teams. There's like two different basically like Teen Titans. One of them is like way more R-rated than the other. The other one's like more goody two shoes. And so they talk about them more in sort of like the superhero farm teams a little bit more.
Right.
Then there's also the issue of, it's like a standalone, the Herogasm.
Yes.
Remember that series? Mm-hmm. Where it's just,
I knew of it. I didn't read it though.
Every superhero basically goes to like an island and it's just like sex and drugs and like partying. And it's like all the superheroes, they all go together and it's like insane.
It's like they're week off. They take a week off. And
but I love
hedonism.
Yeah. So that's one thing I think they're going to develop a little bit more. Cause like it was cool the way they had Huey killing Translucent.
That and was then, awesome.
Like, they were all like impressed by him. Like he's smart. Like we like this guy and he's good with tech and he's on all that stuff. But their ability to kick superheroes' asses, I think will be a lot more in season two.
And it's all, a lot of it is just outsmarting them.
Yes.
You know, which I think was really cool too, the way.
And they did that like, with A-Train in this one.
They did.
Yeah.
And they did it because they knew that he would come in hot and that he would, you know, be all doped and out. And
when the female just breaks his leg, you're like, this is awesome.
Oh, like that was pretty awesome.
Not the best kill.
Not the best kill in the season.
Probably Popclaw.
That would be Popclaw killing her poor landlord. In a bizarre face sitting accident.
I feel like he may have gone out on a high note though for him. I mean, I would say but Popclaw was good.
You go out the way you came in, right?
What do you think of Mesmer played by
Haley Joel? I thought, such a little shit.
Yeah,
you know, just like but I love that character.
He was like a child star or whatever too.
Right,
like that's what he was playing and like. Like that is, it's funny because like those would be, if there's a world where everybody has like powers, they all have like different ones.
Right.
And like, that's what Mesmer's got. And then ultimately he got his comeuppance.
He did.
How about Gus Fring he's showing up.
So he's the big boss, right?
He's the big boss. He was going to hand it off to Stillwell. I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think it's going to happen.
How about, Ezekiel, who's basically like Mr. Fantastic.
Yeah,
is Stretchy Stretcherson.
Stretchy Stretcherson. He's skinny jeans.
Yeah, he was doing his thing, but yeah, I thought the show's great. And like the biggest kind of twist would be like that the heroes are created. They're not like born that way. They're created, and so everything they tell you is just like a bill of goods. Then that and all the Homelander stuff. Like there's just. It's just really well done. I think each character has a pretty good story. I think it will probably get more into Mother's Milk and Frenchie in season two.
Yes.
You know, I think they were probably the thinnest, even though they were both really good. We didn't really know, like you knew about Mother's Milk's family, you knew about Frenchie, and you knew that they had a beef with each other from a previous job gone wrong. But I think you're going to get a lot more of that in season two.
Yeah, and I think it's they're just polar opposite characters. Cause I remember in the comic that like Mother's Milk is like very focused on like details, and Frenchie just doesn't give it. You know, the Frenchman doesn't give a shit. He's a wild card.
Doesn't give a rat's ass. So I was reading an article. There was one thing that apparently Amazon stepped in and said, you know what, we're not going to put that in the show. And I guess they filmed it, but they didn't put it in. And it was a scene in which after Homelander and Stillwell got into a big argument, and then Homelander went up to like the top of like a building and said like, I can do whatever I want. I forget what the exact phrasing was, but while he was doing that, he was pleasuring himself. And then he finishes like on the building and Amazon was like, no, we're not doing that.
That's too much. I mean, one of the most like, what I really loved about this show too, is you have scenes like the pop cloths, like crushing the dude's head or like, but they were like, really heavy, like the scene with Homelander and Maeve on the plane.
Oh, I'm glad you brought that up.
That was like
incredible, and like
an incredible scene.
Show you what he's capable of, and like what he cares about or doesn't care about. That was insane. That was a really good scene. That explained those two characters, and like you can see Maeve having doubts all along, but she's just so used to all this bullshit.
Yeah,
and she sees all the doubts.
And then there's a scene with her and Starlight in the bathroom and she starts talking like I was like you. And then like, she's basically just like numb to it now.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like I came in here and I was super enthusiastic and I loved what I did. And I just wanted to save people. Now it's like, you know, I don't really give a shit anymore.
Yeah. That plane scene was,
that was tough. That was tough to watch. It was heavy.
And then he has the press conference and he blames like the government for not, he's like, hey, if we were involved, we could have been there sooner.
If you told us 2 minutes earlier, we
would have saved everybody.
Yeah.
insane. And so you'd have, not that he wasn't unhinged anyway, but without Stillwell for next season, Homelander is going to be like, there's nobody to sort of like bring him back down to earth or kind of control him at any regard.
And I think of that scene watching him, remember that scene in Man of Steel where Superman, they bring him in and he's handcuffed.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
And they're basically like, oh, like you couldn't get out of the hand. And he just basically just like, yes, yeah, like he separates his hands and like,
right. It's
nothing. It's basically a courtesy. Me being here is a courtesy. Right. Like I could wipe all of you
out. Do whatever I want at any moment.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's the thing. It's like, because he's not from Krypton. There is no kryptonite. So now that's going to be the next thing is like, all right, how do you combat Homelander? Like it seems right now, it seems impossible.
And
based on what we know.
You have Captain America and Superman as like these Boy Scout characters who would never, ever, ever, ever intentionally do the wrong thing.
Yeah.
And this is playing with that. Like, what if Superman had a bad day? What if he was an asshole? Mm-hmm.
Right.
Like that. This is what it would look like.
Like Superman Red, like that kind of thing too. Yeah. When he was doing all that stuff. What about the scene where the Deep was having sex with a woman who was insisting that she stick her hands in his gills?
Oh, and like the gills were like fluttering. Like,
oh.
That was hard. That was like,
I mean, he deserved that, to be fair.
To be fair.
But it was gross.
It was really gross. And something I'm not proud to say it, but I actually looked away. I was like, ugh. Like,
I don't blame you.
Yeah, I didn't like that at all. He's like, ow, it hurts, you know?
Well, I don't know.
I don't like that.
You got anything else on The Boys?
I love it. I think you should. If you're a fan of like comic book movies.
Yeah.
This is a nice, like, step back and be like, wow, like that's a nice like a twist on what I've been watching.
Great
what
idea.
All of us have been watching for like 7 years.
Yeah, because that's the point. Like if I said, hey, it involves superheroes, you're like, and everyone's like, okay, but like, right, but it's unique and there's very few things you could say that about.
Yeah, it's an original idea.
Yeah.
Yep.
Very good.
I love it.
Right, see, so season 2 is coming out. I give it a 6. Davey gives it a 5. So it is a must see show here. According to hashtag dork. Ryan, are you ready for the pick of the podcast?
Yeah, let's do it.
Pick of the pod.
Pick of the pod.
Pick of the pod.
Pick of the pod.
Would you like to kick, receive, defer, or you may also defend a goal?
I will kick.
All right, I will receive. I have 2. And because we're also on YouTube this week, you can check out the pod on YouTube if you want to watch it. I have 2 comic books that I have one I've finished. This is Red Hood Outlaw.
How did I know that was going to be first out of all your picks?
Which is very, very good. I love it. It was actually very good. Not just saying that. So I would pick that one up. It's sort of Red Hood and the Outlaws from Rebirth. It picks up right off of that. So you're going to want to read those first. And I have not finished it yet, but this is AD After Death, written by Scott Snyder, art by Jeff Lemire, who's also a great author as well. It's different. It's fascinating. Maybe a cure for death type of thing.
Huh.
Almost done. I think I've read like three quarters of it or whatever, but already good. Fascinating to see how it's going to end. So those are my 2 picks. Ryan, what do you got?
Let me ask you this first, though. If you were given the choice to be immortal, would you take it?
Yeah.
I wouldn't do it.
I would.
I'm good.
I would. Well, yeah, I would, because I also feel like there's usually an out with that stuff. Like vampires, do they live forever? Yes. Could you kill a vampire? Yes.
Yeah, but like think of like Wolverine. Like at what point you just like, just take me, like just let me die. Like but everyone I know is dead. Like take me.
Not to get too deep, but I am terrified of death. So,
all right. Okay. I shouldn't have brought it up. It's just one of those philosophical
questions. You're probably asking yourself, do I think about it every night as I go to bed? Yes. So,
I do. Correct.
So, if I could put that off, I probably would. But you're right. Ultimately, you'd probably go nuts. Yeah.
All right. And not to get too deep, my love of my family surpasses my fear of death. So I would not want to watch my family have bad death happen to them.
Good point. Yeah. No,
you know what I mean? Like I would rather just not be there.
No, that's true.
You know,
that would definitely be.
We're getting too heavy. We're getting too heavy. That was a bad question to end the episode with. Here's an uplifting thing for you, Richard. I started watching, I'm not a big basketball fan.
No, you're not.
I am not. But there is a series that kind of caught my eye on Netflix called Basketball or Nothing. It's a season. And it follows this high school basketball team in Arizona who are on the Navajo Indian Reservation.
Oh, okay.
And they've won, like, basically, if you know anything about the plight of the Native Americans and what we've done to them, like, in this isolated reservation community, and their basketball team is, like, outstanding.
Oh, interesting.
And one of their best players is, like, 5'4". But the kid's disgusting. But like that, he's just, and they're just trying to. It's called Basketball or Nothing because like that's all these kids have. It's like we either play basketball or we do nothing.
Wow,
you know. So it's actually a really cool. I watched the first episode and it's actually really compelling. And if you're into that like inspiring but gritty kind of documentary series, like definitely check it out. And if you're a sports fan too,
I like it.
Yeah.
That sounds good. Ryan, you guys out there can rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast on iTunes. We're up to 300 ratings, so we appreciate that on the iTunes.
Yeah.
Keep those coming in. Tell a friend, tell a dork. You can follow us on Twitter at Dork Podcast. You can email us anytime, dorkpodcast@gmail.com. You can subscribe to the YouTube channel as well. Some of you might even be watching this on YouTube. We're going to try posting some of these episodes onto the YouTube. Mm-hmm. Just go to youtube.com/dorkpodcast. And Davey, you'll jump in the old Twitch stream now and again.
Yeah, you know, we're toying, we're monkeying around with it now with, and again, with like, you know, people starting to jump ship from Twitch.
Mm.
There is a substantial, I'm just going to say it, Richard. There
Are
is
you
a
on substantial, Mixer now?
No, but there is a substantial YouTube gaming community. So maybe we just house it all in one place. We have the podcast and the stream all in one Dork Podcast channel on YouTube.
Oh, maybe. I like it. I like
it. We're monkeying around with some stuff here. Mm-hmm. Oh, and by the way, biggest video game news of the year. Davey got finally have a Switch. So all you Davey Nintendo people out there who've been bugging me for literally for years.
Yeah.
All you Nintendo people. I am a Nintendo person now.
Right.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah.
I bought the Switch, played it for a couple hours, and have not seen it since my wife found out what Tetris 99 was.
Son of a gun.
So,
yep. Good luck getting that back.
Women be Tetris. Women be Tetrising.
They sure do be. You can't stop a woman from Tetris. Can't
stop them. Yeah.
You can't stop them.
All right.
Ryan, just remember that the bones are their money, the worms are their dollars.
Correct.
Right? Or maybe it's vice versa.
They're also their money. Yeah.
Pull your hair up, but not out.
That song's not in my cue zone, but we'll.
Don't give it to him. All right, Ryan, I will talk to you next time.
All right, man.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.